in the world, the symbol of the cross unites all Christians, doesn't it? We see it everywhere, don't we? There's one on the top of the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral. Even in Russia, all the churches there have crosses on the top of them. In Africa, there are little mission churches, some which are only little huts made of corrugated iron, and they have a cross on them. The symbol of the cross can be found in front of all our Bibles, and many of you ladies, and some men as well, wear it around their necks, don't they? It doesn't matter what our background is, whether we're Protestant, Catholic or Orthodox, the cross unites all who profess faith in Jesus Christ. It's not an accident, because the cross has been central to our faith since the very beginning. Paul, when he was writing to the church in Galatia, the churches, should I say, in Galatia, said, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." I'll read that again. "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." I'd like to use that as my text, if you like, this evening. You know, Paul could have boasted about many things, couldn't he? He was a remarkable man, the Apostle Paul. He could have boasted about his education. He was a very well-educated man. He was one of the most scholarly men of his day. He studied under a man named Gamaliel, who was one of the world's most eminent teachers. He could have boasted of his ability to speak many languages. He could have boasted of his religious background as a very strict Pharisee. He could have boasted about many things about Jesus, like his virgin birth, or his amazing teaching, or his love and compassion, or his miraculous healings. He could have boasted about all these things. And all these things, as important as they are, were not the thing that Paul boasted about. Because he says instead, "May I never boast except in the cross of Christ Jesus." Why the cross? Why would you boast in the cross of Christ Jesus? You see, crucifixion was a dreadful way to put men to death. It was an invention by the Romans. They brought about crucifixion. Diocletian, one of the great Roman empires, who was a despot of a man, had people crucified all along the main road into Rome, the Appian Way. All of his enemies were brought back into Rome. They were crucified. He had people put on crosses in his garden and covered in pitch and set afire so that he could walk in his garden at night by the light of this. It was a barbaric way of putting people to death. Nails were driven through the hands and the feet, and the victim was hung in full view on a rough wooden cross until they died. In the case of Jesus, he'd been flogged. A crown of thorns had been put upon his head. I remember many years ago somebody showing me the thorns that they'd brought back from the Holy Land. When we think of thorns, very often we think of little, tiny little thorns. These were inch and a half long, incredible young, barbaric. And this crown of thorns had been pressed down upon his head. He'd been spat upon. He'd been abused. He'd been mocked. He'd been jeered at. He'd been spurned. And finally, he was hung there on a cross between two common thieves. Yet Paul says, I boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. And we've just sung in that hymn, haven't we? That one line there that says, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the cross of Christ my Lord. So what is the meaning of the cross then? Well, there are many meanings, but the first one is that the cross expresses the death of our sin. We tend to make light of the seriousness of sin, don't we? We compare ourselves to other people. And we make those comparisons. We like to think we're as good as the next man, or not as bad as that man. But God doesn't compare us with other people, does he? He compares us with Christ. And we all come short of his standard. The Bible tells us, doesn't it? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our lives are not as good as Christ's. This is why he is the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're not holy. We are sinners, saved by grace. We've broken the laws of God, and we're accountable to him. And someday we'll have to stand before him in judgment. The Bible tells us that we were born in sin, and that we are sinners both by choice and by practice. Sin affects our minds, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14, a man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Sin affects our will as well. We want to do good, but we find that we cannot because of sin. We know that some things are wrong in our lives, but we can't seem to break free of the habit on our own, can we? Only Jesus can set us free. Sin affects our conscience. The more we sin, the less sensitive we are to right and wrong. And the more we sin, the easier it becomes to leave God out of our lives. Sin also affects our eternal destiny. Death is the final reality for all of us, and the Bible says that the penalty for our sin is death. If our sin is not forgiven and we do not know Jesus, then we have no hope of eternal life with him in heaven. So the cross expresses the death of our sin. Another reason why Paul boasts in the cross is because the cross expresses the depths of God's love. Let me ask you a question. How do you know that God loves you? How do you know that God loves you? Well, just look at the hands of the Saviour. That's how you know. There may be times in your life when you feel lonely, depressed, low in spirit, and you wonder if God really loves you. He seems to be such a long way away at times. Friends, look to the cross. That's proof enough, isn't it? Jesus himself said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The third reason why Paul boasts in the cross is because it's God's way of salvation. You may be sincere in your beliefs, but that's not enough. Man's greatest problem is sin. And his greatest need is forgiveness and new life. Only Christ can forgive us, and only Christ can give us the power to live as we should. We cannot win forgiveness by our own good works. Our good deeds will not save us. This is why Paul boasts in the cross, because only there, do we find true salvation. Fourth reason, Paul boasted in the cross because he knew that it gave him a new meaning to life. Friends, once you've been to the foot of the cross and trusted Jesus as your Saviour, you can never be the same again, can you? 1 Corinthians 5:17, very popular piece of scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. When we repent of our sins and receive Christ by faith, he comes into our lives. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives us strength to break the power of sin. And finally, Paul boasted in the cross because it is the guarantee of future life. This life on earth is not all that there is, friends. There is a life beyond the grave because of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 5, we're given a vision of the future where God's people from all nations and tribes of the world are gathered before the great throne of God. All those who have been born again of the Spirit of God, who have received Christ into their hearts by faith, will be there. And this is what they will sing. For you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. Friends, Christ is our hope for the future because he died to redeem us from our sins. And he rose again to give us eternal life. Can you say that you boast in the cross of Christ? Have you opened your life to Christ, trusting him as your Lord and Saviour? When Christ died on the cross, a great crowd of people were watching. The reading that we received from Dillis said, in verse 36, said that some were indifferent. Indifferent. It said, then sitting down, they watched him. They watched him. In verse 39, we see that some were cynical. Those who passed by hurled insults at him. But some had another attitude, one of faith. It was the dying thief, wasn't it, who said to the Lord, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It was the centurion who helped to nail Jesus to the cross, who later declared, truly, this was the Son of God. Friends, if you want to boast about anything, then boast about the cross of Christ. Let me finish with a little story. There's a little girl got lost in the city. She didn't know where she was. So she went up to a complete stranger and said, "I'm lost, can you help me?" So the stranger said, "Well, where do you live?" And she said, "Well, I live in the city." And they said, "Yes, but do you know your address?" And she said, "Well, no, not really." "Do you know the street you live in?" "Not really, no." "All right. Does your mum and dad have a telephone?" "Yes, yes." "Do you know the telephone number then?" "No, no." And the person said, "Well, I don't know how I can help you, really." And the little girl said, "Well, do you know the big church? The one with the cross on the top?" And the person said, "Yes, yes, I know that one." And the child said, "Get me to the cross, and I can find my way home from there. Get me to the cross, and I can find my way home." We need to get to the cross, don't we, friends? So that we can find our way home into God's forgiveness and be reconciled to Him. Amen. And we're going to sing another hymn before we gather around the table this evening. And another familiar hymn, "There is a green hill far away."